You're listening to Toronto's number one real estate podcast, powered by Watson Estates. The most successful local real estate investing starts right here, right now. Here's your host, broker, investor, and social media influencer, Bradley Watson.
Good morning, investors. Bradley here from Watson Estates, and you're listening to the largest, fastest growing podcast for Toronto real estate on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. What a year it was, man. But I'll tell you, FOMO exists. At least it did in December 2020. We're going to go over some of those because today is TrebStats Day. I hope you guys are excited as I am. But there's really two narratives I want to cover. I want to talk about what Treb has to say. What is the media storyline? And then I want to get to the real story, the meat and potatoes, the turkey dinners. And then we're going to jump into, does Toronto have a New Year's resolution to increase their taxes big time? You guys probably know if you follow our show that the city paid a big price in 2020 to keep things afloat. And the city is really struggling. They're going to be looking for opportunities to make money. So we have a little more information on what that could look like. And how will the work from home trend destroy the real estate market in 2021? Let's get critical here. Let's see what this trend, this work from home decision people are making to move to the suburbs is going to mean for those local downtown properties. Please, if you could, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. And if you could also download the last five episodes while you're at it, it really helps the channel. And I hope you guys are having some fun. I know I like to have some fun. Yesterday, I got a call and I was talking to a partner of mine and he's like, have you seen the news in the US? My goodness, man. So if any of you who are living under a rock, a mob of no good, vicious Trump supporters peacefully marched into Capitol Hill yesterday. So you anger both sides. Making this the first time something like this has happened since 1812, which means we're a part of history. Congrats, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what they say? If you're attacked by a mob of angry clowns, you go for the jugular. Don't worry, I'm sure CNN's doing that. And I don't know about you guys, but I love telling dad jokes along the way. I think it honestly makes it way more fun. Have you heard the one about the angry mob? It's a riot. All right, so let's get into it, shall we? So what is the media narrative and what is the real story? So let's start off with the news story. What's being published? Global News, we'll start here. Toronto Real Estate Board says house prices hit record in 2020 as sales climbed. Here's what it reads. The average price of a Toronto home sold last year hit a new record as the number of home sales climbed 8.4% compared with 2019. Treb says the average selling price for the GTA for the Greater Toronto was $929,000, almost $930,000 in 2020, up 13.5%. Not bad, not too shabby. So Toronto is up 8.4. The GTA is up 13.5. My goodness, they say this, the next 12 months will be critical as we chart our path through recovery, in particular, the impact of resumption in immigration and the reopening of the economy will be key, said Jason Mercer, the board's chief market analyst. So Treb is out here saying we are on a path to recovery. That choice is up to you on whether you believe that's true. But this is bad news, if there's bad news in here, for the kids out here, right? The youth. Getting kicked while they're down and out of the real estate market. And as a well-aged 30-year-old man myself, I have experienced bullying. So I want to be known as someone who's willing to jump in. I'll tell you, that kid's got no chance against us. If you're worried about affordability, I mean, we've already popped our ticket. What did I say? Punched your ticket. Just get on the train, folks. FOMO. Not for everybody, I get it. But the board also pointed to a widening divide between markets for the single family homes and condos. We got a split. We're going to kind of camp here for a little bit. Sales of detached homes were up 15.1% last year and the average price were up 13.2%. And in the condo market, sales fell 5.5% with more modest annual price growth of 7.1%. Say that again. Okay, here, let me repeat it for you. And I'm going to break it down in a more palatable format. In the GTA, if we look in the detached, sales are up 15.1 and prices are up 13.2. Very solid detached market. Condos, sales are down 5.5% and prices are up 7.1%. Not bad, but not the same as the detached segment. That's kind of the point I want to get here. This is what the news is saying, right? The split, then, and these are just facts. I mean, you can't argue with facts. The split between condos and single family homes was clear in the suburbs. And I love this illustration that they put. Listen to this. So in the suburbs, condo sales were down 2.6%. Detached sales were up 18.3%. If you're counting, that's close to 20% difference, a spread, as far as the number of sales go. And in Toronto, that spread isn't nearly as aggressive. Sales are down in the condo space 6.7%. Detached are up 4.4%. That's roughly 10% spread. Still a spread, not as big a deal. Not as big. But the headlines are so fixated on detached homes right now. The media gangsters have become a herd of paparazzis. It's a real life flash mob. So I'm going to jump to another article, thestar.com. I like to go through some of the top ones, the headlines. I'm not going to repeat ourselves. We're just going to add some value to what we're already hearing. But remember this quote, because we're going to circle back to this in a minute. The supply of single-family homes remain constrained, resulting in strong competition between buyers and double-digit price increases. In contrast, growth in condo listings far outstripped growth in sales. Listings outperforming sales. Increased choice for condo buyers ultimately led to more bargaining power and a year-over-year dip in average condo selling prices during the last few months of the year. This came straight from Jason Mercer at Treb, chief market analyst. That sounds bad. I don't know about you. That sounds bad for condos. But let's shed some light on here before we kind of swerve into the story that's not being told. Zeland on Twitter had a post, ignore the month-on-month decline in average price. It's caused by the huge jump in condo percent of sales. You can talk about the price drops in condo sales, the price drops in general in the market month over month. But don't forget, this is all following suit to a huge, which they haven't even talked about really here, a huge increase in the number of condo sales. Obviously, the price point of condos are lower, so you'll have that increasing in sales as a percentage. They've gone up like crazy. In fact, if you look at 2020 as a whole, there's a huge bump in luxury sales, which represent 4.2% of total sales, and that was 2.7% in 2019. He says, though, total inventory, that's resale and rentals, remain the highest for December since 2012. So it's funny as we wrap up here that we come full circle as if COVID never happened. This is crazy. In February, weeks before COVID, Treb forecasted a 10% average increase in prices for 2020 to 900,000. Look at that. Look at that. What COVID? Looking ahead to 2021, Zeland continues, 2020 was an unprecedented year on so many levels. Various forecasts appear in the news almost daily, and I hope in 2020 everyone learned this. I know we did. Forecasts are just an educated guess and nothing more. Many forecasts today are predicted real estate boom in 2021 if we look at the current thing, and I see that trend too. Majority of people are pretty optimistic about 2021. I wish they were optimistic in 2020 with us, but that wasn't the case. But they also, I'm starting to get a little bit of an apology here, which I love. For me, they say, 2020 was also a year of disappointment in CMHC. Not so much CMHC, but more so their forecast. I put way more emphasis than needed on their forecast, thinking that regulator may affect the market. And in hindsight, CMHC report is an embarrassment. I apologize for that. Lesson learned. There, I love standing up and standing behind what you said. Look at how much emphasis was put on this damn CMHC report, this 20% drop people were expecting. We never fell for that. And hopefully you guys didn't either. But 2020 was the third highest year for sales volume ever. Behind only 2015 and 2016. And look at how those turned out, some people would say. But let's put it this way. Next year, 2020 is going to be fourth. Behind 2021. Just you watch, mark my words. I don't know. We'll see. But this should be a time for celebration, at least for those in the market, right? Yesterday, I started singing and dancing by myself at the park. I was so excited. And that's how I learned that flash mobs are planned ahead of time. Oops. Here's the real story, folks. Here's a story that hasn't been sung. The praises that are lacking from the news as it relates to condo. Zeland says here, the biggest story in December is booming condo sales. 30% of all sales. Previously, it was 24% of all sales. So as a percentage, it's gone up, hence the month-over-month price drops. It's understandable taking into account detached unaffordability and, quote, discount for the condo sector. That condo discount you're getting right now, no doubt you're feeling that there's a condo discount. Everyone would say that. And people feel like prices are just outrageous in the low rise. What do you think that's going to cause? They say it's a divergence with unsustainable and sectors are finally starting to converge. Converge. Did you hear that? We're starting to see some balance? What? Scott Ingram says, note that in HPI, which looks at price of a benchmark property, so it isn't subject to the mix of the average price, the 416 condo apartments are still up year over year, but by under 1%. So we're seeing some stability. And if you compare just apartment to apartment, we're starting to see that it's actually not down as people would have you believe. And if you guys are curious, because we talk about HPI every now and again, just a fun fact, a tool for you. There's an MLS HPI tool you can find on the CREA website, CREA.ca. I'll post the link down below on the show notes so you can go and take a look and play with it. You can find your specific market in the GTA. You can put it together with what kind of time frame you want. You can see what housing segments are doing. So go out and check what your investment properties are doing. It's an excellent resource for you as well. Okay, so let's continue this story here. So Yahoo Finance has home ownership further out of reach in Toronto unless you're a condo buyer. Here's what they say. Record low interest rates have helped fuel the rally, especially as more people work from home. But high price tags mean buyers are out of luck unless they have big down payments, no doubt. The amount of $1 million price points in the GTA is out. It's just crazy. The average price is pushing over. Oh my goodness. Look at those numbers. I'm like, is that us? What? Condo sales and prices haven't kept up with explosive gains in the detached segment. So Treb thinks that could be the place for first-time buyers to focus. I agree. Trust me. First-time buyers are already starting to look there. They are. And we're seeing that in the week-over-week stats. Forget month-over-month. But remember that quote we heard earlier in the show? Growth in condo listings far outstripped growth in sales. Increased choice for condo buyers ultimately led for price bargaining power and a year-over-year dip in average condo selling price. Remember that quote? Well, with that said, the GTA condo market has played catch-up with a 75.9% increase in sales. Almost 76% increase in sales in the 416 area code for condos and 74.5% in the 905. So all across the region, what happened in December? Boy, oh boy. Quote, to date, we're already beginning to see prices flatten out, which is good news for sellers. Even amidst this, condos with a good location, a sound and well-built building with good layouts will always sell. That comes from realtor Mark Tang from Trace Property Group. Whew. But you don't hear this optimism from Treb. You're hearing it from an agent, but in the recent publication, I'm not seeing as much as you'd like, which gives condo buyers a window. That's what it's doing. You know how some gangs beat up new members to initiate them? Well, condo owners are in like 12 gangs this year. And we actually did an interview with Sahil Jaggi. It was a great interview talking about quite a savvy investor downtown Toronto and in the city. We posted that video, and obviously he had a very similar perspective in that art and in that conversation towards the condo market, in that it wasn't doing so good. And we have the insight of kind of being ahead by a couple weeks. But I actually had someone post Adam Narbo on YouTube. Thank you, my friend, for your comment. He says a slippery slope for condos. This was part of the conversation that we were having. Well, listen to this. I love this rebuttal. With 400,000 new immigrants coming to Canada every year for the next 3 years, and most either rent or purchase less expensive places to live, that statement is ridiculous, specifically the slippery slope for condos. Not to mention the fact that Toronto ranks so low on a price per square foot compared to many other European or Asian cities where prices are $2,000, $3,000 per square foot for condos. We've got a long way to go. Very short-sighted, as you reported yourself, Brad, because we've been saying this, and Adam knows that. Condos are currently in a, quote, seller's market with a 1.9 months of inventory. The bottom is the past. I think so. I even said in the comment, I think people realize the strength of the condo market in the coming months. And they didn't give it the credit due in December. Again, window of opportunity. What's driving the condo sales, though? Who in the right mind is putting money into that? Well, I'll tell you this, it's investors. Investors are doing it. John Pasalis from Twitter says, whether this surge in demand for condos continues or fizzles out will largely depend on the rental market. If condo rental listings and vacancies increase in Q1, which is a very good point, and rents continue to fall, which I don't think they will that much. I'm starting to see some stability there. But let's say we start to see rents continue to fall, then he says, I would expect investors to start moving to the sidelines again, which would be round two, I guess you could say. I don't think so. I could be wrong. But then he goes on in a later post to say, this was actually more recent. How many? This actually a day ago. John says this, top question. I love this breakdown. I think this is a great way to summarize this point. 6 weeks ago, people were saying, why are so many people selling their condos? Like, why are you dumping it? Today, people are saying, who are all these people rushing to buy condos? And in 6 weeks, the downtown condo market changed course. 6 weeks later, that would be next month's stats coming out. Just you wait and see, folks. Let's see. I'm okay with being wrong, but I don't know. Okay, let's move off of this whole conversation, what's going on, and that gives you a bit of an update for December. But let's look to the new year, 2021. Do you, Toronto, believe that the city, their New Year's resolution is to increase taxes big time? We heard big threats of that back in 2020 in order to try and keep these balanced books that the municipalities legally need to keep. Well, the U.S. government isn't the only one underwater, so is the city of Toronto. I guess that makes Donald Trump and John Tory the codfathers. But here's the answer to that question, and we'll dive into why. They might not need to. You might not need to find taxes increase that much because we did it ourselves with sales climbing up in Toronto. The rebound, the success of the real estate market, is, and the number of sales and transactions happening mean way more money than we could have even imagined during COVID for the city of Toronto in the land transfer tax. Here's an article from ctvnews.ca. This is exciting, guys, especially if you're a Toronto taxpayer. Toronto officials eye land transfer tax from record home sales brace for budget shortfall. A week before the launch of a city budget, the councillors are calling a, quote, unprecedented fiscal challenge. A new Toronto home sales report is offering a glimmer of hope of the land transfer tax that can be reaped from the boom. And it's a big chunk of the budget. Municipal officials are still crunching the numbers on how much land transfer tax the city will intake from those sales, but they will need every penny they can get because the city budget shortfall is forecasted to be $1.5 to $1.7 billion due largely to massive revenue losses related to the pandemic. What do you mean? People weren't taking the TTC? Come on now. Quote, we're grateful for the real estate market doing well because it gives us the ability to help with our financial challenges. That's Budget Chief Gary Crawford telling CTV News. Woo! Hopefully that covers the shortfall, 1.5 million. Let's make 2021 great, folks. Again, Crawford admitted that the land transfer tax won't be axed anytime soon, right? Because we got Treb saying, you know what? Cut the tax, make it easier. Like, Toronto's the only one that has it. It never should have been put in the first place. But is this the time to do it? Do we really need the stimulation from the demand? I don't think so. Trust me, I think we're good. We're good. You could probably increase that 50%. You'd still see the... Anyways, let's not go there. Let's not put any thoughts in people's heads now. So, our city isn't sick, I guess is to say. We're just a little bit iron deficient. So, on January 14th, the city will rise up to launch our 2021 tax budget. But not too fast. Don't get lightheaded now. Okay, we're going to jump into some hot topics. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes if you could. If you're this far in the show, if you're liking the content. And also, please download the last 5 episodes. Go back and listen. There's been some good stuff put out. You're learning new things, hopefully, along the way. And if anything, I'm having fun. So is my grandma. Apparently, she listens to these shows. Okay, hot topics. BlogTO.com. Ontario just released a guide to how to buy and own a condo. Fun resource available for you guys. I thought this would be good, especially if you're considering buying even something like a pre-construction. It's good to know. The Ontario government has a new residential condominium buyer's guide. We're trying to educate people beginning on January 1st. In fact, all condo developers must provide this to buyers of pre-construction residential condos. You know, it's because a lot of them are getting absolutely screwed. We want to make sure you guys are safe and protected. If you don't know what you're doing, you should have a team there to support you, myself or whatever. Just have somebody there in your corner. But the guide includes info like the condo purchase process, moving into pre-construction residential condo units, condo living and governance, and resources for resolving issues with condo living, because these are all very real things. Also, I'm going to put that in the show notes down below. You can check that link out and get access to that new guide. The next thing I want to talk about is the short-term rental. Short-term rental crackdown, specifically. We're going to use the data we have and be out there sending out notices and following up. Nothing is immediate. There's a process to be followed, says the executive director of City of Toronto Municipal Licensing and Standards, the MLS. Somebody just hides it. Yeah, I work for the MLS. The city confirms that a few inspections were done as of January 2nd, though no bylaw infractions were found. That's probably, you know, because there's not a lot of illegal Airbnbs. We'll get into some of those numbers in a bit. The majority of people do want to follow the rules. That 1% to 5% that don't, that's where we're going to put our efforts. Is that the guess? 1% to 5%? Let's see. Airbnb, the largest short-term, or actually, before we go there, They're giving, Airbnb specifically, is giving Toronto users until January 8th to prove they've obtained a short-term registration for their listings, or they're going to take them down. So that's the steps happening there. But let's look at the numbers, guys, because you need to apply, you need to register, and you should have registered by January. So far, the city has handed out 2,000 registration numbers, and they have a backlog of 700. So call it 2,700 total applications. Third-party analysts have estimated there are anywhere between 14,000 and 20,000 short-term rental listings in Toronto. It's not 1% to 5%, put it that way. And we know the majority of those are entire home, quote-unquote, apartments. It's not your primary residence that you're renting out for short-term, because where are people going anyways? It's COVID, right? People aren't doing it right. That's probably the reason that they're not applying it. Good luck. Good luck. What happens when all of a sudden you've got over 10,000 short-term rentals, at least 10 to 15,000 even? Overnight hitting the market? Question mark. Maybe not. Maybe hitting the long-term rental market, which brings us back to what John Pasalis says. Maybe there's a trickle-down effect for those investors that are so excited to jump on those condos these days. I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. I think that that's a very good avenue. We need to be paying attention to that segment for sure. And the Globe and Mail reporter, Shane Dingman, wraps it up by saying, regulation and enforcement of Airbnb and other short-term rental platforms in Toronto is finally here in 2021, but don't expect any dramatic changes yet. They're slow. They're dragging their feet. It's not very exciting. It's not like putting cement blocks outside of a dispensary now. It's cute watching the city try to police the mob of Airbnb units, though. These hosts, man. But you know how the mob identified the copper? By finding a wire. God, so stupid. All right. What about the idea of a rate drop? Another rate drop. Interest rates. Let's go there for a second, because Billy Miner, thanks for your comment, says, I'm enjoying the run-up. I read the Bank of Canada is hinting of another rate cut, taking the rate down from 0.25 to 0.10. I think it's going to happen. I mean, anything can happen. Anything can happen. We got to guarantee it's going to stay flat, no? But then I also saw this article from Financial Post. You can now get, listen to this, a 20-year mortgage in Denmark for 0%. 0% mortgage. That's not the, like, lending rate. That's not the bank rate. That's the mortgage. You literally have a house for free. As an investor, that is 100% mortgage pay down. Let's go. The country with the longest history of negative central bank rates is offering homeowners 20% loans at their fixed interest rate of zero. No major Western central bank is likely to raise rates this year, according to Bloomberg's quarterly review of monetary policy. I also saw on that same similar line of thinking from Steve Sreski, he posted the Bank of Canada is hiring for their central bank digital currency project. It's coming much sooner than you think, namely digital currency. You can check that out as well, what the bank have to say. They got a job posting for it, for a cryptographer. Cryptographer? Sounds so, like, fancy. I'm a cryptographer. Anyways, I can't talk right now. But in my opinion, considering these things, I think we need rates to start going back up. I mean, I'll put my hand up for that. We need rates to go back up. Not, we need it now, like soon, not 2023, which is what we've been promised. I mean, I know there's a lot of investors like, oh, you're going to increase rents and it's going to mess things up. Guys, we have an affordability. You think if you increase the rates by 0.5%, even it's going to change the Toronto real estate landscape? I don't think so. Call me naive, but I don't think so, man. You be the judge. I don't think that's happening, but whatever. From a housing perspective, lowering rates or borrowing costs, as we've seen, doesn't make real estate cheaper. As Trudeau would kind of chuckle and say, you know what? It's like not even like it's so low. I can afford to carry that debt. It's so cheap, which is true, but it doesn't lower the borrowing cost, doesn't lower prices, doesn't make it more affordable. What we've found and what we'll continue to find is it makes it more expensive. The quicker we figure that out, the quicker we can resolve a lot of the challenges we're facing in housing affordability. Okay. Our last and final topic is, how will the work from home trend destroy the real estate market in 2021? Not if it will, but how will it? Because it seems like a sure bet based on this Globe and Mail article, work from home trend will shape real estate in 2021. Everybody wants to be an economist, everybody. But all these failed predictions aren't helping. You know what you do when what you get when you cross an economist with a mafia godfather? An offer you can't understand. So they actually, this is all from John Andrew, professor of Queen's University in Kingston. This is all his thinking. This is his perspective. And I love getting different perspectives. It's the whole nature and point of the show. Professor Andrew, director of Queen's Real Estate Roundtable. Sounds like smart and educated and a smart dude, smart cookie. Here's what he says. I think work patterns are a big story here. He expects the work from home trend to become entrenched not because of employee preferences, but because employers are realizing how much money they will be able to save by downsizing their workplace in real estate, like for real estate. If you can downsize that unit, you put less money in and they're good to stay at home. They're still productive. Sounds good. Professor Andrew believes a large number of city dwellers who rode the subways and GO trains in the past are now afraid of public transit. He expects that heightened anxiety to linger even when the current pandemic ends. We're in a perpetual pandemic, it sounds like. Professor Andrew believes many people have come to believe that high density is not a healthy way to live. But I love this thinking because it's true. I took city planning or whatever back in university. It was a bird course. Don't take it. Urban planning or something. But it's true. Urban planners, they have a hatred at their core. Their whole job revolves around a hatred for sprawl and a love for density. Urban planners also applaud public transit and disdain the private automobile. Well, that don't sound like your typical Canadian resident anymore. Your GTA person wants to commute. Professor Andrew believes lots of commuters will now be more willing to endure traffic congestion and the high cost of owning a vehicle because it makes them feel safe. Professor Andrew believes they're going to make the trade-off in commuting, and they're going to want it to be in their own cars. Professor Andrew believes mobs will go through town systematically shoplifting clothes in order of size. Police say they're still at large. Thank you, Professor. Here's his opinion, okay? That last one wasn't legitimate. Please don't be concerned. There's shoplifting happening right now. Though there probably is somewhere. All of this will have long-term implications for the downtown core, in his opinion. Guys, formulate your own opinion. You'll probably get the sense of mine at the end of this little section here. Short-term rental market may rebound because out-of-town employees may be willing to rent a unit for the one or two nights they are in the city, he says. But the cohort, there's going to be a lot of availability of that. But the cohort of people looking to live in condos long-term will probably be diminished for some time to come. You condo owners long-term, you're screwed. Thank you, Professor Andrews. I think the demand is probably not going to recover. That's a direct quote. I think we're going to see a continued decline in condo prices. Also a direct quote. The story reads, the supply of new listings could increase significantly if homeowners are struggling financially as government stimulus programs wind down and businesses are hurt by the second lockdown. So listings are going to increase because stimulus is going to end, which already kind of happened. And we're seeing that the deferral cliff isn't an issue. It's not a concern. And our businesses are going to get hurt by the second lockdown, probably. You think government's going to be there to support them? I like to think so. I don't know. The arrival of vaccines bodes well for economic recovery by next summer. Finally, good news. There's a vaccine, guys. But another significant risk, oh, here we go, to real estate awaits if the timetable doesn't pan out. Oh, yeah. So if you don't get a vaccine, which is possible too. Quote, if that turns not to be the case, we could be in deep trouble. Deep la poo-poo. Why do we pay so much money for university? Is this the best we got? Come on now. I want my money back. I want my $40,000 back. So let's look to our listeners because they're so much smarter than professors. Snow Wash, one day ago. Thank you for your comment on YouTube. I'm suffering in FOMO. I get it. So many stupid news out there. So much stupid news. I am trying. So much stupid news. I'm trying to give myself some time. Good for you. Like, I love that. And I do believe you need to be logical when you're making these decisions. They need to be calculated and whatever that is for you. Time in the market heals all short-term shocks in real estate. That was literally the comment that I left back. But I thought it's wise. It's wisdom, guys. This is the wisdom. Okay. This market isn't a good one for gangsters with a weak stomach out here throwing up gang signs. So here's the case for bears to even the playing field a little bit, because I think I've been a little bit hard. I'm a little too optimistic. Damn realtor. Damn investor. Betting on the market. Foolish boy. Here's the case for bears, okay? Case for bears comes from Zealand for GTA 2021. The key pillar of the bear case, in my view, remains the rental market. It's stabilizing, but very dependent on population growth. So if it comes in 2021 on the weak side, which is a real possibility, I agree. Overbuilding may continue and rental market will remain weak through 2021. Excess units from overbuilding will boost inventories. Here's some other issues or factors that the bears are freaked out. They're hiding in their caves this winter. The virus. What virus? Market is overvalued. Okay. By what measure? CMHC doesn't agree with you. Insolvencies peak Q2 2021. That'll be interesting. I know a lot of people are saying that, but I don't understand why they would think that. I mean, should we not have already experienced, if we had smart people on the deferral cliff, they should have sold off, or people not smart to that and they're going to get caught. I don't know. Is it going to be a job loss? What's going to cause it? I don't know. No certain fundamentals supporting price growth in 2021. How about supply and demand? Is that supporting it? Unemployment. Okay. If we have high employment, which we do, it's going to be prolonged. I think I tend to agree that that's the case. Overbuilding. CMHC doesn't say we're overbuilding, but perhaps if the demand isn't enough, as they've said. Cash flow hit to real estate investors. It's a real impact that we've already experienced this year. Are we going to see more rental price drops? I don't think so. Maybe. And the last point, Biden. Biden is the concern. If they only had the future to see what was going to come a day later. So here is the response to the Bears. I couldn't have put it better myself. C. Soreski with the comment of the day on Twitter, dude. This is fantastic. Listen to this post. There's nothing worse than being bearish on everything and never making a dime. It's true. I love it. Our world is a confusing place, folks, and we all just need a place to put our confidence. Don't get freaked out. Time will get tough. Things are going to get tougher. They do. That's life. Like back in 2018, when I was parked my car back in New Mexico or Mexico City, sorry, I came out in the morning to find a gang of kids had stolen all the parts off of it. Every single one. Jesus took the wheel. But that's okay, because we could all use a little Jesus in our lives. I hope you guys have a wonderful day, and I will see you next time. Please hit that like, subscribe button, leave us a comment, review, check in, say hi, tag us at Watson Estates on Instagram, do whatever it takes, and I'll see you guys next time. Take care, and keep it real.